What's up, everybody, and welcome to the very first ever episode of Just Do It. I'm your friend Cody, I'm your host, and we are going to have a splendid time today. Thank you so much for joining me, for checking out the very first episode. I hope that you'll hang around and embark on this journey with me. If you're coming here from the table, what's up, friend? Welcome back. I knew I'd see you again. Here we are. We're going to have a great time today. We've got some questions. And by the way, if you would like to submit your questions to be on the show, you can do so over on Instagram and Twitter. The handle there is Just Do It Pod. That's Just DUEITT Pod. You can also submit a question over on our Facebook page, or you can send us an email. However you want to go about doing it, whatever your thing is. Another thing you can do, you can go to Anchor and you can leave a voicemail. You can do like a little voice memo thing where it sends it to me and I get to hear it. And if you do that and your question is selected, you will actually hear yourself on the show. Because the purpose of this, what we're really going for here in this show, is we want to create a dialogue. I don't want it to be just me talking about random things. I want you to have your say. I want you to have your input. And you submit questions, I respond, and then maybe you submit your response to my response. And as this ball gets to rolling, as we begin to go down this path, I foresee a beautiful dialogue taking place between you and me and all of us here, just as one big happy family. I think it's going to be great. We've already got one listener question here for this first episode, but the rest of the questions for today, I was like, how do I get this started with it being a new show? And I mean, what do? I got to have questions. I got to have stuff to talk about. So as you do, I went to the internet. That's right. I went to the internet and all of its infinite wisdom, question mark. The internet does not have infinite wisdom, especially if you're using Siri, but I won't go there today. But the way we have it laid out for us today is I've got three questions from Reddit, and then I've got one listener-submitted question that we're going to get into as we go down this road. So without any further ado, let's get into our very first question. Our first question comes from a Reddit user who asks, what is on your anti-bucket list of things you never want to do in your lifetime? Now, before I get into my answer, consider it this way. When I read these questions, I'm asking you. I want to hear what's on your anti-bucket list of things that you never want to do in your lifetime. So feel free to reach out to me in any of the socials or via email, whatever you want to do. Links to all that will be down in the show notes, by the way. Let's have this conversation together. But right now, I'm going to answer this question and say that your friend Cody has absolutely no desire to go skydiving. I understand a lot of people like it, and a lot of people do it. That's the thing, is a lot of people actually go up into an airplane. They got the parachute on. Maybe they've got a trainer with them. Maybe they are a trainer. Those guys do it a lot. But I respect that, and I'm not going to lie. It looks pretty fun. Like, it looks like something that I feel like I would enjoy the sensation of falling through the air. Which is why I would like to do one of those indoor skydiving things, but unfortunately, I think I might be a little too heavy, but that's okay. I haven't tried it. I haven't actually went inside the building that I did see when I was on vacation with my wife in Gatlinburg, or was it Pigeon Forge? It was in Pigeon Forge. We saw it. I wanted to go in, didn't go, because I was low-key afraid of the truth. I was afraid of that moment of walking in, getting either looked at or told, sir, are you serious? Like, you can't do this. You clearly exceed all the limits. I don't know what those limits are, but whatever they are, you exceed them. I did not want to do that. So I didn't go in, but it would be something I would like to do, that sensation of falling. But the problem is, to do that, you got to go up and you got to jump out. I'm not going to do it. First of all, I don't like flying. Though, To be fair, that's probably more because of the airport than the actual flying itself. I've been in several different planes, and towards, I think it was one of the last flights I was on, I was actually able to kind of nod off and go to sleep, which is something that I never dreamed I would ever do in a plane when I was on a plane for my first time. I was like, this is something that I'll never be comfortable with. I'll never enjoy doing it. Not going to say I enjoyed it, but I did get close enough to fall asleep. Now, with that being said, falling asleep while skydiving, probably not the best idea. But that's one thing that I would never want to do. I never want to find a deceased body or be involved in anything that would result in me being in an investigation. Like, I don't want to find something that puts me in the center of an ongoing investigation, especially, particularly, a dead body. Whenever I used to hunt a lot, that was one of my biggest fears is, man, I'm out here in the woods. I'm out here, like, I'm not going to put any towns on blast, but I'm like, I'm where I'm at. I wouldn't be super surprised if I did stumble upon somebody. But thank God and all of his glory and his goodness, I never came across that. I never came across anything that would result in me being involved in an investigation or being questioned or being looked at in a weird way. Never had anything like that. So that was good. One last thing for this question. I have no desire to eat sushi. For those of you that do not know me, which may be most of you right now at this point, I don't like sushi. First of all, I don't like rice. And from what I can see, rice is like a key part of like most sushi rolls, or like, I don't know what they're called, but they look like rolls of rice and raw fish, maybe steamed fish that feels raw. I don't know what it is, but I do see an abundance of rice in most sushi. So that's automatically a big no for me, because it's just rice. It's there. I don't like it. No, thank you. And you know, really and truthfully, it's almost a goal at this point to not eat sushi. Like, I don't know, maybe it's me being me, but I don't want it. I want you to have it. Like, if you want sushi, I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to have a great time, but I want you to do so while not trying to convince me to eat it, because it's not going to happen, and you're probably going to have your feelings hurt. So again, it's one of those things. Some folks love it, but it's not for me. Great question to start us off with here, and let me know what is on your anti-bucket list. What's something that you would never want to do in your lifetime? Going down now to question number two. This one says, all of a sudden, you are transported to 1991. You have 1 minute to grab something around you and bring it back to 2021, or I guess I would say now 2022, since we're in the new year. What do you grab? What is it that you bring back with you? So, since I was born in 1992, I'm assuming that doesn't like create a problem in this scenario. I'm assuming that just because I was born in 1992, that doesn't mean I can't go back to 1991. Because if that's the case and I go back to 91, I don't yet exist, which doesn't seem that fun. So let's just say in this scenario, I do exist. But what would I grab and bring back? You know, it kind of depends on where you're transported to. Like, for example, if I popped up in the house that I grew up in, I wouldn't really know what to bring. It just anything, really. I mean, I can't think of anywhere in particular in the house that I would go and be like, oh, I need to bring this back. Because in all actuality, I still have access to most of those things today. I can still go back to that house right now, and it's probably still there, including the massive, uncalled for amount of toys that I used to have that are still up in the attic. Wow. I had so many toys, and maybe one day I should go up there, maybe one day I should send someone up there and just see what's up there, because there's probably something up there that's worth money now, the way things are going, the way stuff is coming back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been seeing things make a resurgence, including I've noticed that a lot of people are going back to wired earphones, like the ones that come with the iPhone, like 6, 7, 8. Rather, they're using those rather than AirPods. I don't know what that's all about. I'm not really with it these days, but I have noticed that people have been doing that. But anyway, so if I popped up at the house, I wouldn't know what to bring. But if I popped up somewhere like Walmart, my initial reaction would be hesitation. I would hesitate to take anything at all because that would be stealing. But for the sake of the topic, if we say that in this scenario, it's not stealing and I'm at Walmart, I would probably bring back a Hit Clips player. You know those little things? You know what a Hit Clip is. Like, it's like the little bitty square music player. You could put one little plastic thing in it, and it had a song. It was a, you could put one Hit Clip in it, and it had one song. And I remember thinking those were so cool. And if you were that kid on the school bus who had, like, you had your Hit Clips player, and then you had the keychain that just had 30 different songs on it, everyone wanted to, like, sit by you. Everyone wanted to be your friend, wanted to see, what songs do you have? What songs do you have? One thing I don't remember is, and maybe you can help me with this, did Hit Clips come with full songs on them, or was it just like clips of a song? I feel like there was both, but I don't remember correctly. So reach out to me and let me know if you know the answer to that. But yeah, that's what I would bring. In fact, I was thinking about Hit Clips the other day, weirdly enough, and I was wondering if did they have like gospel song, not necessarily gospel, but like Christian songs on Hit Clips? Because if they did, I would like to find that and just like buy it off of eBay and just possess that today and just have it with me. Can you imagine being at like a church gathering and you just whip out a Hit Clip and like, let's listen to Shout to the Lord or whatever it is. Man, that'd be fun. Okay, let's see here. The next question, this one is a little bit more serious, and I'm excited to get into this one. It says, is it okay to not have friends? Is it okay to just work, come home, read a book, and go to sleep? What are your thoughts about life like this? So my short answer is no, it's not okay. And actually, there was a part of my life where I kind of lived this way. At the time, I worked at the shipyard, and what I would do is I would go to work. I'd wake up super early in the morning. I would get up at like 3:30. I would go to work. I would get home at 3:30 p.m. I rode a bus or like a van. You would pay every month to be able to be a part of this van. These guys would take you to and from the shipyard. That way, you know, you don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about someone, you know, stealing your truck or scratching your truck. Because everyone at the shipyard, if you don't know, they park super close, and you have to. I mean, it really is an environment of survival out there. Unless you're management, maybe it is for management too. I don't know. But anyway, I would get home at 3:30 because the van was always consistent, and we would make it home at that time. I would eat, I would get a bath, and I would go to bed. Especially when I first started, because when I first started at the shipyard, I was so tired. I went from having a job where I woke up early, but I wasn't waking up at 3:30. Like, that was something that I always said, I'm not going to the shipyard. I said, I had a whole case laid out for it. I was like, there's men that I know, men that I respect, that have jobs. They have a family, they have a wife, children, some of them, and they don't work at the shipyard, and they're able to make a living, support their family. You know, some of them lived in nice houses. I may have had a whole case made for why I did not have to work at the shipyard, because when you grow up where I grew up, it was just kind of understood that, oh yeah, you're going to wind up at the shipyard. You're going to wind up having to go out there to make any kind of money. And I just didn't agree with that. But I had to go. It was really the will of God that I go out there. And it all worked out for the best, because had I not have gone out there, I would not have been able to marry my wife when I did. And so God knew exactly what he was doing, but it did not change the fact that at the beginning, I was a very tired person. I had a life that consisted of just this, you know, come home, eat, get a bath, go to bed. That was it. And the way I felt at the time was like, I just felt like I was in a rut. You know what I'm saying? Like I felt like that there has got to be more to life than this. I had friends. I really did. I had friends that I considered close friends, but I really didn't. I found myself not really having a relationship with them because, and you know, it's weird because you think to yourself, like, how can you have friends? How can you say that you had friends, but you didn't have a relationship with them? Well, that's the thing is you can, and a lot of us do that, especially nowadays. Like, how many times have you seen, you know, you've got this friend, then life takes you apart for months, maybe years. But whenever you do reconnect, it's like, oh, hey, we're still friends. I really haven't seen you. I haven't maintained a relationship. I haven't maintained really any kind of daily consistent friendship with you. But here we are and we're still friends. That's a beautiful thing. But if I remember feeling like I just didn't have any friends. I remember feeling like that, you know, I've got these friends, but if I text so-and-so, he's always busy. And if I text this guy, like, he's working and I can't hang out with him because he's on the night shift. And to answer this question, I was not in a good place during that time. I remember I used to have a list I would keep on my phone. I got several lists that I have. I have a list of band names. I have The List, which is something that we'll maybe get into one day if you don't already know about it. I have a variety of different lists, but this was one I kept at the time that was, I wanted to keep a list of significant things that happened throughout the year because I just wanted to be able to look back at it and be like, man, this year wasn't as bad as I thought, you know, or maybe, wow, this year wasn't as great as it could have been or whatever the perspective would have been. I remember laying in my bed on New Year's night. It was December 31st of 2014. And I remember laying in my bed and it was just before the new year. And I'm just sad. Like, wow, I'm just not feeling good at all. And I thought to myself, I wonder if anything is going to change this year. Like, I wonder in 2015, is anything going to be different? Is anything going to become great in my life? Like, that's just how I felt. And man, 2015 was the year that my life changed forever. For those that don't know, I reconnected with my wife, Sarah, in 2015. She texted me on my birthday. We had our first date in February. I proposed in April, and by October, we were married. And it's been a beautiful thing. And my life did change that year. That was the year that, the way I look back on it now is, in a way, that was the year that my life really began. Like, life as I know it now is so completely different than what it was back then. And it's like, you know, now I have, you know, I still have some of those friends from back then, but I also have new friends. And I have found, as I've gotten older and as life has went on and I've learned things, I've found the importance of having friends, having people around you that can support you, people around you that can check you, people around you that can encourage you whenever you need it. You know, it's important to have friends. And so if you're struggling with that, and if you're struggling with this kind of place that I was in, I would encourage you not to give up. And if you've been avoiding having friends, like avoiding people because you don't want to get hurt again or because you don't want to waste people's time, as you may feel, whatever your situation may be, I would encourage you as your friend to reconnect with some friends. Make sure they're the right friends. Make sure it's friends that you need and not people who that you know deep down are bad for you and bad for your life. Make sure they're godly friends, but you do need friends. You know, the Bible says that it's not good for man to be alone. And in the context of that scripture, God was looking at Adam and saw that he was alone, that he had no one, he had no mate, he had no friends. Well, God, at that point, made Adam a wife. He made him Eve. And but the principle is the same, is it's not good for people to be alone. You've got to have, there's scripture about that, about not being isolated. And if you're by yourself when you fall, who's going to be there to pick you up? Who's going to be there to warm you if you're cold, if you're by yourself? There's all kind of scriptures about that, about not being alone. So I would encourage you to have friends and to not live life where you just come home, read a book, and go to sleep. There's time for that, and I'm someone, I have to have my personal days. Like, I have to have that time of, okay, today is just going to be me. Today I'm going to go just have a personal day. But I get to do that while knowing I've got friends, I've got a wife, I've got a great life, I've got a relationship with God, I'm happy. I may not be happy all the time, but there's joy and there's peace in knowing that those things are where they need to be. And yeah, I just think that having friends is important. Iron sharpeneth iron. So I hope that helps you, and let me know your thoughts on that as well. So the last question we have here is from a listener who chooses to remain anonymous, and we totally understand that and respect that. You can do that as well. If you would rather me not say your name, or if you would rather remain anonymous, however you want to go about doing that, just let me know whenever you submit your question, and I have no issue with that whatsoever. But for this listener, the question is, how do you keep the faith when everything around you is falling apart? How do you not take back all the burdens you've given over to the Lord? You know, this is a conversation that we could sit down and have for hours. You know, this is something that we all struggle with from time to time. And I'll just answer this from my perspective, from my life and what I'm having to do, because I've got stuff in my life that's not working out great either. I mean, there's stuff in my life that's falling apart. But I think that, first of all, it's important that we understand that God truly does care about us. And if we can ever get that, if we can ever get that He cares about us and that He loves us, I think that that really scares the enemy, because the enemy, he fights us so hard to make us believe that God doesn't listen and that God doesn't care and that He can't relate to what you're going through. But we know and understand that the Lord wrapped Himself in flesh. He robed Himself in a body, and He came to earth, and the Bible says that He was tempted in all like manner, yet without sin. He felt the things that we felt. He was tempted by things that we've been tempted with, and I believe that as a man who lived for 33 and a half years, that He experienced life as a man. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He knows what it feels like to have loss. He knows what it feels like to be misunderstood and lied on and cheated and all these things that we feel and that we experience from time to time. He knows what that is, not just from being God and from being all-knowing, but also from personal experience. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched, that doesn't know what it is that we're going through. We are living for a God who has been there, who came to earth to experience it and to feel it and to save us from those things. And He does care. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." And not only does that mean that He cares about you, that He cares and values you, but He also cares for you in the sense of He's taking care of you. He's actively taking care of the needs and the wants that you have. So when everything is falling apart, I'm not going to lie, it's very easy to become discouraged. It's very easy to not understand or feel those things that I just said. But really, it's my experience that it's in those times when we actually do lean in to our faith. It's in those times that our faith is tested. And what happens is, in those times when everything is falling apart and when we've tried to give our burdens back to Him, and it seems like that we're trying to take them back. You don't want to, but just you find yourself in that situation of, wow, here I am bearing this load again. Our faith becomes tested when it encounters resistance. It's just like a muscle, and you've probably heard this said before, but it's just like a muscle. When someone exercises and they work out, the weight is the resistance that tears the muscle fibers that then rebuild back stronger. And that's how strength is built. That's how mass is built. It's from those fibers have to tear, and then they have to rebuild back stronger and bigger. And that's what results in these crazy muscular people that we see. I say crazy, I don't mean it in a bad way, but just like impressive, like, wow, that guy, you can look at someone and tell that guy works out. I mean, that dude's got arms bigger than tree trunks. I mean, he didn't just wake up that way. He works out. He does what he does, and that's the results. You can look at someone and tell that they've been through some resistance. You can tell that they have actually put in some effort here or there. And I think that's the way it is with our faith, is you can tell when someone's faith has been tested. You can tell when your own faith, you can tell within yourself, wow, my faith is really being tested right now. Do I really believe what I'm saying? Do I really believe what I've been preaching? Do I believe the things that I claim to believe? Am I really truly believing that God can fix this? Do I really believe that He can take my burdens? You have to ask yourself, why am I taking these burdens back? Why do I find myself not able to leave it at Jesus' feet? And again, I'm speaking from personal experience. These are questions I've had to ask myself recently because, like I said, stuff has fallen apart in my life too. So I've had to ask myself these questions like, God, I do believe in you. I do believe that you and only you can fix this situation. Why is it that I find myself taking it back? And, you know, I think we just have to get to a point of trust where you just realize, I can't do anything about this. There's nothing I can do. Lord, I lay it at your feet. And then whenever the opportunity comes for you to take it back, when you find yourself worrying or you find yourself with it again, I think you just have to say it again. Lord, I'm not taking that back on. I'm leaving that at your feet. I choose to let you handle that and choose to let you take this burden, because I very clearly can do nothing with it. There's nothing I can do. So Lord, I just want you to have your way, have your will be done. You work out this situation the way that you see fit, and I'm going to trust you with that and leave the results up to you, because I'm not going to put my hands on it, because if I do, I'll just mess it up. You're God, you fix it. And, you know, I think that this, like I said, during these times that our faith is tested, and we just have to wake up and know that He's God. He's the one that can do something about it. We are not. And when I look at how little I can do and how little control I have, in a way, it makes it a whole lot easier to have faith in Him. Because if faith was in me, I would be in a mess. But I can have faith in Him that He is in control, and He knows what He's doing, and He is the one who is going to work it out, because I'm not going to take it back from Him. I'm going to leave it at His feet. I'm going to let Him handle it and ask Him for His perfect and complete will to be done, and let that be yes and amen. I hope that answers your question. Let me know. Like I said, you can reach out to me on the socials and email. All that will be down in the show notes. But you know what? I think that's a show. I think we're going to leave it at that for today. And I look forward to doing this every week with you. I look forward to this dialogue that we're going to have. Thank you so much for listening. And please, if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have anything to say that you want to be on the show, shoot me an email. Reach out on socials. Again, all of those links will be down in the show notes. And we thank you so much for listening today. It's been a blast to be with you. I look forward to seeing you again in the very near future. So until next time, thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you in the next one. Bye.